Well, Trump has finally made it to the United Kingdom for that delayed but much awaited state visit. The red carpet has been rolled out, as have the mass protests against him. As with his trademark style, this trip has been filled with diplomatic faux pas on his part, with him questioning Prime Minister May's leadership, especially on Brexit, which he, again, expectedly denied he said outright. At a time of Brexit for May, this is a vital trip, especially as she seeks to sign important trade deals. And for Trump, this is an attempt to prove he is still appreciated by his allies despite the protests. Join me, Waqar Azouz, to discuss Trump's UK visit. Let's now introduce our guests who are joining us for tonight's discussion. We're joined by political commentator Adam Gary, who is joining us live now from London. And we're also joined by the Secretary General of the Next Century Foundation, William Morris, who is also joining us live from the British capital. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us for the debate. William, I'm going to start with you, if I may. What are your thoughts on Trump's visit to the UK?
Well, it's long overdue. I'm glad he's come. He's our major ally, our greatest ally here in the UK. So we need to see him, we need to talk to him, we need to have a strong relationship with him. He's a very popular U.S. president. He's certainly, better on human rights than Obama. Obama took out so many people with drones, it's unbelievable, and deported more Mexicans than anybody almost in creation. Obama was much praised in the world, but he did very little for the Middle East. The one bad thing about Trump is his behavior towards Iran. One of the bad things about Trump's behavior is towards Iran, in my view, and that's not been helpful. But he is what he is, and he's a strong U.S. president. He's successful economically. He's putting the brakes on China, which has been exploiting the world trade system. So there are many pluses with Trump, and it's good to have him as a U.K. ally.
Adam, what do you make of that? It's good to have Trump as a UK ally?
Well, the UK needs all the allies it can get, but not many people want to be a UK ally. Both the nations of the European Union and the United States are disappointed with a government in the form of Theresa May that exudes total incompetence. It really is a bit like the Wizard of Oz. The UK right now is being run by a wicked witch, and on one side of her there are straw men with no brains, on the other there are tin men with no hearts, and on all the other side she's surrounded not by cowardly lions but by cowardly liars. Into this fray steps Donald Trump, and he has quite a lot to say, as Mr. Juncker in the EU has a lot to say, as Angela Merkel in Germany has a lot to say, and as many people in Theresa May's own party have to say. So if anything, the many straws that are about to break this camel's back of an incompetent British government, I think a big orange straw in the form of Donald Trump has just landed, and I think the camel's back will soon be broken.
All right, so William, let's talk about that infamous now interview that Donald Trump gave to The Sun. He obviously criticized Theresa May quite harshly, at least how he was quoted by the newspaper. He was denying it when he was standing beside Theresa May today for that press conference. Do you think, William, that he was correct, though, that he about his disagreements with May's approach towards, for example, Brexit?
Well, of course he was correct, in so much as Theresa May has proved herself a weak prime minister, but a weak prime minister that's hung on by the skin of her teeth. And we, I guess, have to have her, because nobody has the courage to topple her. She'll be there until after next March, when we have the Brexit fiasco going forward. I mean, this is not what the British people voted for, does it satisfy anybody. It doesn't satisfy the Remainers. It doesn't satisfy anybody except possibly Europe, who will get a very good deal out of Theresa May's failure to negotiate strongly. But there you go. She won't be replaced, I don't think, not at the moment. We haven't got the courage to replace her, because we're slightly frightened of the consequences. I think it would be very good if we replaced her, but we're not likely to.
Okay, so Adam, it seems like for Theresa May, this was a vital trip, wasn't it? The Donald Trump make it to the UK somehow, because we know that this had been a delayed trip. Trump was obviously essentially kept away from the center of London because of the protests. He was essentially told to, you know, pretty much visit everywhere apart from the center of London to not see the protests as much as possible. And then Theresa May standing beside him, speaking a lot about trade deals during today's press conference, saying that it was vital to sign those trade deals with the U.S. What do you make of May's position in all this?
Well, it was clearly a charm offensive designed to woo Trump over into taking a softer line against May, who he's never really had a particularly good relationship with, quite unlike Macron in France, who, at least on a personal level, Trump seems to get on with quite well. But it all comes down to the following. If Britain remains in the single market and customs union, Britain will, like Norway, which is a country outside of the European Union, but within the single market, Britain won't be able to make the kinds of free trading deals with China, the strongest and most dynamic economy in modern history, with the United States, which is very much a superpower and an important economy, with Japan, with Pakistan, with India, with Iran, with any other country, Turkey, from within this position. And so all I ask for in terms of this Brexit nonsense is some clarity. Does Britain want to maintain a trading relationship, a Norway-style relationship with the EU, which will be good for businesses that benefit from transacting with Europe? Or does it want to try something new and trade with Russia, China, the United States, India, Pakistan, Iran, etc.? It's a simple question, and it would have a simple answer to anyone with a brain, but sadly that particular organ is missing in terms of the front bench of British politics and most of the back bench.
Okay, so William, I wanted to address those protests because, you know, the reason why Trump is on this trip delayed, obviously, he was invited quite a while back for the state visit. He delayed it because of the fact that a lot of the British people, seemingly according to polls, did not want him to even come for this trip. There have been these huge protests. They're still seemingly ongoing in places like Glasgow as well. What do you make of the protests? What do you make of the British people's opinion about this president?
Yes, the opinion is mixed, but many young people feel resentful and angry about Trump because of his, I guess, because of his morality, which is very lacking. Young people really feel strongly that we need honesty and morality in world leaders. So they resent the Donald Trump, quite understandably. But that the kind of reaction, putting up some stupid balloon that the Lord Mayor of London has put up with a nappy on it, or, you know, this is degrading degrading for London. It's not an appropriate response, and the Lord Mayor of London should have known better than to authorize that. But he's obviously a gutter politician, the way he's behaving. He's behaving the kind of way that Trump would behave. He's behaving with very little dignity. I mean, Trump is a particular kind of politician. You've had this kind of politician all over the world. You saw it in Iran, in Ahmadinejad. He's a puffy politician with a kind of brash approach. But we're stuck with him on the world stage. We'll be stuck with him, I believe, for a second term because he's very successful for the United States of America, certainly in economic terms. So I don't see him going away. We'll have to just learn to live with him, and that certainly Britain must do that because we will be leaving the European Union in some shape or form. I can't imagine we'll stay in a single market. If we do, then it's going to be a fiasco. But there you go.
Adam, what do you make of the protests?
Well, it's a vulgar exercise in vanity that's focused entirely on the egos of the ultra-liberal protesters, where there are issues which Donald Trump should be criticized for, and which I'm sat in this very chair very frequently criticizing him for. There's first of all the trade war, which, unlike the guest opposite, I think is insane. There's his irresponsible and ludicrous position on the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, which all the other parties too want to preserve. There's his irresponsible and reckless behavior towards Palestine. There's his insane behavior in the South China Sea. There's the United States that is trying to turn India into a vassal state through which to antagonize both Pakistan and India. There's, and China. And then there's the United States actions in Syria, which are totally illegal and totally counterproductive. So I've criticized American leaders, many of them, on issues such as these and relating to them. And I've criticized Donald Trump on these issues. I've also said that on certain things like the DPRK, Trump's actually done a rather good job, which he certainly did when he met with Kim Jong-un in Singapore. So the problem with these protests, when taken in totality, is that they don't really stand for anything. It's just a morass of liberal idiocy that's protesting about style rather than substance. And I frankly don't know if any of these people could point out on a map any of the countries that the United States is currently bombing. So it's a total farce. It's a waste of police time, especially in London, which is now one of Europe's most dangerous cities. Rather than pursue crime, pursue terrorism, pursue the drug problem, which is insatiably horrific, they're instead wasting police time on marshalling these idiotic protesters from one side of the town to the other. It's disgraceful.
William, you know, one of the criticisms of the protest that I read today, and I wanted to get your opinion on that, was that there's a certain element of hypocrisy here on the part of these protesters who are out, because, you know, even the UK government, for many of the things that they are possibly angry at Trump about, be it arms sales to despotic regimes in the Middle East, for example, the UK government is doing the very same thing, because, especially, of course, in the light of Brexit, we have May, who has traveled to the Middle East, to many of these sheikhdoms, trying to sell them ever more weapons in order to keep the economy going since when Brexit does occur, finally. What do you make of that?
Yes, I mean, certainly the great arms-selling nations, of which Britain is one, have a lot to answer for. They're not helping the world with their gross levels of arms sales. But that said, everybody has a right to protest. And the young people on the streets of London today, I mean, I'm certainly not going to protest because I feel differently, but I can understand their emotion. Trump has been a bit of, well, you've seen him for yourself. You've just heard a paean of criticism from your other interviewee who talked about Trump's behavior over Palestine, Trump's behavior over Iran, and so forth. So there are reasons for these protests, and people have every right to express their opinion. Every right. It is part of our democracy. It's part of the natural freedom, one of the great four freedoms, the freedom of expression. So I don't criticize them for that. If it costs police money and police time, so be it. If young people feel strongly, they must have the right to protest.
All right. So Adam, let's move on to this one phrase which is used a lot to describe the relationship between the UK and the US. That is a special relationship. You know, we keep hearing that phrase. Everybody's mentioned it over and over again over the years. Even when Obama was president, he mentioned the special relationship with the UK. Standing beside May today, Trump repeated that exact same phrase. Is the relationship still special at this time? One wonders, especially in you know, with Trump's criticism of May, and seemingly at least, the UK looking weak because of Brexit and its negotiation position.
Well, JFK had a special relationship with Marilyn Monroe, and Bill Clinton had a special relationship with Monica Lewinsky. So I don't see how these labels are very meaningful of anything. The United Kingdom's leaders are frankly living in a sea of delusion. Many of them still think that the country is an empire which rules great parts of the world. And while it still sells weapons to many parts of the world and follows the United States in terms of war criminality, reality in many parts of the world over which a UK flag once flew. At the moment, Britain is a small Western European nation with a fairly strong financial services economy and a totally rubbish economy in every other sense. It has a growing wealth gap. Its military is now nothing. It can't do anything unless it's following the United States behemoth into various criminal theaters of war. And on top of all this, it's going through an identity crisis. It doesn't know if it wants to join the United States as the 52nd state just after Israel. It doesn't know if it wants to be part of a European Union. It doesn't really know what it wants. These issues are fairly easy to divulge if, again, one has a brain, but this feckless, lobotomized government doesn't know if it's coming or going. But Donald Trump, for whatever one can say about him, he knows where he stands on issues. And as I said, he looked at the House of Cards that is the British government. It doesn't even rise to the level of being worthy of being called a regime. And he essentially blew on it the way a child blows out candles on the cake. And I think that May, whose days should have been numbered for a long time, are going to tick ever more rapidly now.
William, do you agree with that? Do you think that the UK really is quite a weak party now in this quote-unquote special relationship?
Well, a special relationship began at the time of the Second World War. It was a phrase coined by Winston Churchill, who needed US support. And yes, we need US support as we come out of Europe. What does it matter? It is a special relationship. We have had a special relationship. And we have gone to war with America in Iraq and Afghanistan, and maybe it's been pretty abysmal. The consequences have not been great, but it is what it is. It exists. Britain is one of the permanent members of the United Nations Security Council. It is one of the biggest economies in the world, like it or not. It remains one of the major economies in the top 10 of the world's economies. You know, I mean, Britain is still a heavyweight. It's not going to go anywhere yet. You just have to deal with it. It's some of its behavior has been atrocious. Britain initiated the war in Libya, and look at the consequences of that. It's been a catastrophe. But there you go. So Britain remains a factor in international affairs, a major player. You may not like it. May think it's punching way above its weight and it should shut up and go home, but it doesn't, and it continues to waddle around the world, throwing its weight about when it has quite a modest armed forces. And yeah, you know, but it's what it is. It's there. It exists. Trump and Britain, America, the U.S. and Britain have a special relationship. They will continue to have a special relationship. I don't think America can do without Britain as its main ally.
All right. I want to go back, Adam, to obviously the mention of the JCPOA, because that did come up even in today's press conference in Buckinghamshire between Trump and May. And, you know, Trump very clearly pressuring May to essentially walk away from the deal and or to pile the pressure on to the Islamic Republic. May seemingly standing her ground, not very strongly at least in words in this press conference, but we know the UK government for now is standing by the JCPOA. What do you make of that then divide between these two allies, specifically about that?
Well, regarding the JCPOA, I'd like to make a direct appeal to Iran on Press TV. If the Iranian politicians think that the European Union, including Britain, is strong enough to stand up to Trump on the JCPOA, they're sadly mistaken. I believe from the EU's point of view, they will slowly and without much storm and fury let the JCPOA die, which is why the solution for Iran is to work ever more closely with the Russian and Chinese superpowers and also work more closely with neighboring states whose economies continue to grow and who have a bright future together in terms of their own national destiny and in terms of working together with Iran. I refer specifically to Pakistan and to Turkey, two countries who could be much more of an asset to Tehran in the future than the states of the European Union. So I think with or without Trump, the EU would have let the JCPOA die. And the reason for that is because while the EU is a mighty economic bloc in some ways, it doesn't have very diverse trading relationships. And because of that, there's not much that Brussels can do to leverage Washington in the way that Russia can, that China can, and that even Turkey and Pakistan can. The EU has boxed itself into a unilateral corner in a multipolar world. And because of that, Trump is bigger than them. He's already knocking them out. And May is simply the easiest victim of many of Trump's European political victims. Merkel certainly is another one. And he obviously relishes this. So Iran should look around its own neighborhood, and it should look to the eastern superpowers for help in terms of a post-JCPOA economic reality.
Okay, gentlemen, we'll leave there at that as our final word. But of course, we do appreciate both of your contributions to tonight's discussion. That was political commentator Adam Geary, who was speaking to us live from London. We were also joined by the Secretary General of the Next Century Foundation, William Morse, who was also joining us live from London. And of course, viewers, we appreciate you joining us as well. Until next time, good night.